Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. And as you know, I always like to remind you of the fast passage of time. We are already now in the middle of the month of August, and very soon the year will be over. And I want to remind all of us here to always remember to ask ourselves this question: what have we done for you, Lord? What have we done for you? And maybe we should ask additionally, how may I be a better witness for you? Lord, what can I do for you? My dear friends, let us be very, very conscious of the fast passage of time. And before you know it, the year 2016 will be over, right? And I think after the Olympics 4 years ago, we said that the next Olympics will be 4 years away. It will be a long, long time away. And now we are right in the midst of the Olympics, and then very soon the Olympics will be over also, right? So you see how time flies. Let's be very, very conscious of this fast passage of time and keep on asking ourselves, Lord, what can I do for you? Yes, I want to serve you better. What can I do for you? Fear the Lord. That's my topic this morning, fear the Lord, Proverbs 1:7. Last week, our brother Remington exhorted the YFS on the fear of the Lord. And so I thought it might be good this morning to speak on this topic, the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the verse that we read earlier on, says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, what is the fear of the Lord to you? To unbelievers, the fear of the Lord might just mean nothing. They have no fear of the Lord in them at all. But one day, this fear of the Lord is going to become a reality. Whether they like it or not, it's going to become a reality. It will come upon them. By which time, this fear will not just be fear for the unbelievers. It will be terror of the most terrible kind. Yes, on that day when they know what the fear is, they will realize that it is really the terror of the Lord, the terror of the most terrible kind. Today, I suppose when we talk about terror of the worst kind, we will possibly imagine of the terror that we would be experiencing. Let's say we are being held hostage by terrorists in a cafe, and the terrorists have started shooting, killing the victims one by one. And then you know that your turn can come anytime. Your name might be called upon. They might not even call your name. They just say, "You," and then they'll shoot at you and kill you. And while you wait for your execution, you know you'll be stricken with terror of the most terrible kind. But friends, that terror is nothing compared to the terror that an unbeliever will experience on the day when he stands before the great white throne of God and be found guilty of unrepentant sin and will have to be cast into the lake of fire where they will be tormented day and night for all eternity. My dear friends, that will be terror of the indescribable kind. Yes, and that is what the fear of the Lord is to you, will be to you, if you do not fear the Lord today and if you have not trusted in Him. Now, but to believers, what is the fear of the Lord like? What is it like? Yes, we know that it is reverence unto the Lord. That is what the fear of the Lord is. But let me give you a little illustration, and hopefully this will give you a better understanding of what the fear of the Lord is. I could have given you this illustration before, but please listen. Yes, there was this factory in which the workers were very, very careless in the way they work. They were a very boisterous lot. They were very slothful, lazy, very untidy. They never bothered to clean up their workstations. And then when they heard that the factory inspector was coming, they would very often be very, very panicky, and then very, very quickly they would try to set everything in order. But there was one worker in the company that was very, very diligent in his service to the company. He would always make sure that his workstation was very, very tidy. He was a very good worker, hardworking man. And then he was laughed at by his colleagues, by his fellow factory workers. They laugh at him and they say that, "You are so chicken, you are scared of the factory inspector." Now, of course, he had the fear of this factory inspector, but his fear of the factory inspector was not terror. He was not terrified by the factory inspector. In fact, he was always looking forward to the visit of the factory inspector because he was always waiting for the factory inspector to give him high commendation for the work that he has done, for the way he has been keeping his workstation in order. So he was always looking forward for the inspector to come. He had this fear. What kind of fear did he have? He was very concerned that he might not be able to hear high commendation from this factory inspector. My dear friends, this is in a small way, a small sense of what it means to have the fear of the Lord. But friends, really the fear of the Lord means far, far more than the fear of the factory worker, the worthy factory worker had for the factory inspector. For sure, it is not the terror of the Lord. It is holy reverence for him. The believer knows that the Lord is present with him. He knows that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good as well as the evil. And he knows that the Lord is with him. And he's very, very comforted by this truth that the Lord is always taking cognizance of what he's doing. Yes, he's very, very comforted by this truth. And he loves the Lord. He loves the Lord. And he wants to do everything to please him. And he does not want to do anything to grieve him. And his chief concern is this, that one day when he stands before the Lord Jesus Christ, he might not be able to hear him say to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That is his chief concern. My dear friends, that is what is meant by the fear of the Lord. The wise man, King Solomon, says in Proverbs 1:7, the verse that we read early on, Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And in Proverbs 9:10, we read almost the same thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And in Psalm 111:10. All right, this verse is good for us to look at. Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. Yes, the psalmist says, Psalm 111 and verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Yes, so how is fear related to wisdom? As we said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's what we want to consider first of all. How is the fear of the Lord related to wisdom? And then number two, we talk about what is this fear of the Lord to us? And number three, what's the consequence of having no fear of the Lord? So three things I want to talk about this morning. Now, how is the fear of the Lord related to wisdom? Now, the fear of the Lord is related to wisdom in the sense that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. Now, what is meant by the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Now, there are at least three interpretations. I'm sure there are more than three. There are at least three of them. But let me just consider the three of them. The first one says, the fear of the Lord means this. It is the fear of the Lord means this. With regards to the word beginning, it has reference to time. It has reference to time. In other words, you didn't have wisdom up to a certain time in your life. Yes, before you came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you didn't have any wisdom at all. So up to that time, you didn't have any wisdom. Even though you had plenty of knowledge, you could be the most educated person. You could be so smart, so intelligent. Your wealth of intelligence or knowledge is your wealth of knowledge is so great that you could even be a Nobel Prize winner. And people came and consulted you. Great leaders consulted you, and you are well acknowledged as the wisest and the authority of the area of expertise that you are in. You are maybe like Janet Yellen. You know Janet Yellen, the chief the chairperson of the Federal Reserve of the United States. Yes, every utterance of yours is very, very powerful and very absolutely weighty. Every single utterance of yours could cause the stock market in the world to rise up or the stock market of the world to collapse. That's how powerful you are. Yes, that's how knowledgeable and how wise you are regarded to be. Maybe you are like that. But friends, in the eyes of the Lord, the amount of wisdom you have will be zero, even if you have great wealth of knowledge, if you do not have the fear of the Lord in your heart. You must have the fear of the Lord in your heart. If you do not have the fear of the Lord in your heart, you'll be regarded as foolish in the sight of God. Yes? Why would you not be a fool? You indeed are a fool. For what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul if he does not fear the Lord? Now let me put it another way. What does it profit a man if he should gain the entire knowledge of the world, every bit of knowledge in the world, but he loses in his soul because he has no fear of the Lord in his heart? So you are foolish indeed, my dear friends, even though you could be very, very knowledgeable, but if you do not have the fear of the Lord in your heart. Proverbs 14:27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death." Hear the Lord, hear the Lord. In other words, hear the Lord, believe on him, fear him, and you have the fountain of life. Yes, that's wisdom. Hear the Lord, believe on him, fear him, and have the fountain of life. In other words, you must begin to do this. Fear the Lord, hear him, believe in him. And then you will have everlasting life. Yes, you have the fountain of everlasting life. And that's wisdom. Now, then to all of us who profess to be believers, but you do not believe, you do not fear the Lord. Yes, you say that I'm a believer, but you do not fear the Lord. I need to ask you this question. Do you seriously think that you really have belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not fear him? Now I need to ask you this question, because fearing the Lord is a very, very good indication that you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us understand this truth. If you do not fear the Lord, if you do not fear him, yes, it is really a big question whether or not you truly are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though you might profess to be a believer. So fearing the Lord is the starting point of wisdom, because at the time when we begin to show that we fear the Lord, we really show that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have everlasting life. And that is true wisdom. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, can mean the fear of the Lord is the starting point of wisdom. Now let's look at the second interpretation of this phrase, the beginning of wisdom. Now this interpretation says that the fear of the Lord is the principal part of wisdom. In other words, the chief part, the number one part of wisdom. Now of all the knowledge that a wise man has, the greatest part, the chief part, the number one part is the fear of the Lord. Now, there are other parts that make up wisdom, but the number one part that makes up wisdom is the fear of the Lord. All right, now this is the second interpretation. Then what about the third interpretation? Now, this interpretation says, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. It is the foundation of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Now, I favor this interpretation, the third interpretation. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. And I also favor the first interpretation, which says the fear of the Lord is the starting point of wisdom. Yes, both of them, I think, are right. Now, a man can have all kinds of wisdom, but he is still foolish in the sight of the one true living God if he does not fear the Lord. But if a man truly fears the Lord, he's a wise man. Yes, because the Lord sees him as such. He could appear to be very, very foolish in the eyes of people, of men in the world. Yes, but what does it matter? The opinions of men are only temporal. They are not eternal. Yes, but in the eyes of the one true living God, the man who fears the Lord is a wise man. Yes, he's wise, because in the eyes of the Lord, he's wise. And that is the thing that counts for eternity. So, the next question is, what is the fear of the Lord to us? Well, we talk about what the fear of the Lord is next, and we talk about how the fear of the Lord is related to wisdom. Let's go on to talk now about what is the fear of the Lord to us. What does the fear of the Lord mean to me? Yes, my dear friends, we must see the fear of the Lord as meaning everything and everything to us. I say that again. The fear of the Lord must be seen as meaning everything and everything to us. You see, King Solomon tasted all the great things in life. Yes, he tasted all kinds of knowledge. He acquired lots and lots of knowledge. He tasted all kinds of pleasures. He built the most beautiful orchards, the most beautiful gardens. He had live orchestras, live choirs to entertain him. And he experienced the glory of being the most powerful monarch of the most powerful nation at that time in the ancient world around that region. Yes, his kingdom was literally oozing with gold. That was how rich he was. But then he said, at the end of the day, he said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 14. He says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I've seen all these things, I've done all these things, I have great knowledge, acquired great knowledge, achieved many, many things. But all these things are vanity of vanities, emptiness. And they are a vexation of spirit. I explained that to you before. Vexation of spirit is like chasing after the wind. You chase after the wind, what do you get? You get nothing. You chase after the wind. That's how he felt. Yes, all these things are futile, empty. So he said. Now, after going through all his pursuits in life, and by the way, Solomon was absolutely successful in all his pursuits of life. Okay, very, very successful. And he came to this final conclusion at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us look at this verse, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Okay, let's read this verse together, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now you will notice that the word duty is written in italics, right? Can you see that? It is written in italics. What it means is this. In the original Hebrew, the word duty wasn't there. Now, when this the Hebrew text was translated into English, the translators inserted the word duty. Now, it's correct. It is not wrong. All right? But without the word duty, it will read like this. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. The whole of man. In other words, this verse teaches us this truth. You exercise the fear of the Lord. This is the whole of man. This is your whole duty, number one. This is all your happiness, number two. Number three, this is your first and your final lesson. The most important lesson in life, in other words. Yes, fear the Lord. This is your whole duty. This is your whole happiness. This is your final, your first and final lesson. The most important lesson in life is to fear the Lord. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So how should we regard the fear of the Lord? My dear friends, we should see it as our holy duty. In other words, we do not have any option at all. It is our duty to fear the Lord. Now, is it really our duty to fear the Lord? Is it? Of course it is our duty to fear the Lord, because He is our Creator. He is the one who made us. And we are obligated to fear Him. It is our duty to fear Him. It is our duty to reverence Him. Yes, our first parents, Adam and Eve, were created perfect. Now, did they not know that it was their duty to fear the Lord? Did they not know? Of course they knew. They knew it perfectly. And they knew that they had to perform perfect duty unto the one true living God. They knew it. And they would very, very gladly do it. Yes, but there was a day when they decided not to do it. There was a day when they were tempted by the evil one. They succumbed to his temptation. They rebelled against the one true living God, disobeyed him. They fell and they became sinners. And friends, we have inherited that sinful nature from our first father, Adam. It is this sinful nature that causes us not to accept that it is our duty to fear the Lord. Yes, it is because of the sinful nature in us that we do not accept that it is our duty to fear the Lord. Now, it is when we refuse to perform this duty of fearing the Lord that we are fools. Yes, we don't fear Him, we become fools. We are fools because, my dear friends, we will be seeing we are fools because we would see the broad way of life as the way of life. We fail to see that the broad way is the way that leads to everlasting death. It leads to everlasting condemnation. We fail to see that because we are fools. We do not think that it is our duty to fear the Lord. Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of life." But we don't see it that way. Yes, the way seems right to us. We love it. We enjoy walking along the way, that broad way. We choose to sin and we enjoy sinning. How foolish we are. But friends, when we are sinning, walking along that broad way, and we do not think that it's our duty to fear the Lord, yes, we do not think that we are fools. But it could be late, too late. Yes, when you wise up, because when you pass away from this earth, when you wise up, it'll be too late, because you would have found yourself in a situation that you would not like to be in. You will find yourself standing before the great white throne of God, and then you'll be found guilty as an unrepentant sinner, and then you will be cast into the lake of fire where you will be tormented day and night for all eternity. So wise up now, my dear friends. Why remain fools? Wise up now. Fear the Lord. Recognize that it is your duty to fear Him. Come and believe in Him today. Then in regards to us who are believers, let us realize that it is our whole duty to fear the Lord. Let's never neglect it. It is our whole duty. You know, in life, people can create disasters if they neglect their duty. A train driver, half asleep, would neglect his duty. The train comes to a bend, and he knows that it is his duty to slow the train down, but he neglects his duty because he's half asleep. The train travels at top speed, and then it derails, and lots of the passengers are killed as a result because of his negligence to his duty. Then a soldier on duty may fail in his duty. Yes, he does not check people thoroughly enough, and then there is a terrorist who slips through with bombs strapped to his body, and then he kills lots of people through his suicide bombing. All because the soldier at the checkpoint neglects his duty. Friends, we must see the fear of the Lord as our duty. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to ourselves to see that it is our duty. We must not be negligent. If we don't perform this duty and perform the duty of fearing the Lord, you know, we become very, very vulnerable to the attacks of the evil one. Yes, very vulnerable. We forget that we are wrestling against not flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We forget that. And we forget that Satan, our adversary, our enemy number one, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We forget, if we neglect this duty of ours, the duty of fearing the Lord. So how should we regard this duty? Now, a duty can be seen as a chore, yes? It will be so if we feel compelled to perform that duty. Now, let's say if you have no interest in your work in the office, and you are there because you have no choice, you have to be there, you have to earn a living. So what do? Every morning you literally have to drag your feet to go to work. Yes, because you don't enjoy work at the office. Now, there were phases in my life when my work in the office was very, very uninteresting. My duties were routine, and I would regard my work as a chore. But then there were phases in my life when the work in the office was very, very interesting, very, very exciting, very challenging, very, very demanding. But it was very satisfying. And so on those days, when I got up, it would be very, very exciting for me to go to work. Did I say that it was my duty to go to the office to work? No, I didn't think of it as such. Why? Because I enjoyed what I was doing. I loved what I was doing. Now, this duty of fearing the Lord will not be even seen as a duty if we love our Lord. Yes, if we love Him, we will not see the duty as duty. Yes, we realize that we are doing it for the lover of our soul, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will constantly remember that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for me. Yes, and I owe it to Him to fear Him and to do this duty very lovingly to Him. And all the time, we will be thinking of the, and lots of times we will be thinking of these questions that the hymn writer actually posed to himself. He imagined that the Lord was asking him these questions, and he penned these words. All right, and this, he writes the questions that the Lord was posing to him. Now, these questions should be posed to us also. And if we truly love the Lord, my dear friends, many times we'll be posing these questions to ourselves. Now, let me read you this hymn, all right? We'll sing this hymn at the close of the worship service. The Lord says, I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed that thou mightst ransomed be. And quickened from the dead, I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I've given you everything. I've given you my life. What have you given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circled throne. I left for earthly night, for wanderings sad and lone. I left it all for thee. I left heaven's glory for you. Hast thou left aught for me? Have you left anything for me? That's what the Lord asks. Have you left anything for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I've borne the greatest sufferings for you. What have you borne for me? What kind of sufferings have you borne for me? The Lord asks us. My dear friends, should we not love Him in return for all that He did for us? If we truly love the Lord, the holy duty of fearing Him will not be seen as a duty. We will gladly and lovingly fear Him. Yes, we will gladly and lovingly fear Him. We will not see the fear of the Lord as our duty. Solomon says, exercise the fear of the Lord. This is the whole of man, not just the whole duty of man, but the whole of man. This is not just the whole duty of man, but it is the whole happiness of man. The psalmist says in Psalm 128, verse 1, he says this, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. The word blessed means happy. Happy is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. So happy is everyone that fears the Lord. Fear the Lord. This is the whole of man. It is your whole happiness. Fear the Lord, and you will be happy. So if you want happiness, fear the Lord. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. You will be happy because your days will be prolonged on this earth. as a general rule, this is the case. When you fear the Lord, what would you do? When you fear the Lord, you will depart from evil. Yes, the book of Proverbs says it correctly. Proverbs 16 verse 6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Yes, you fear the Lord, you depart from evil. You know that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. And you will not say, the Lord is nowhere. But rather you will say, the Lord is now here. You know the word nowhere can also become now here. Right? The Lord is now here. You are very, very conscious of that. And when you realize that the Lord is now here, His eyes are upon the good and the evil as well, you will avoid all the avoid all the vices. You would avoid getting drunk. You avoid driving, and therefore you won't kill yourself or maim yourself by meeting with an accident because you were half drunk, or you will not get yourself engaged in the vices by engaging yourselves in illicit sex and contract diseases that can shorten your life. So this statement is absolutely true. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. Yes, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He will be satisfied. He will abide satisfied. When you fear the Lord, you have life. Not just prolonged life on this earth, but you have everlasting life. Isn't that happiness, my dear friends, to have everlasting life? The fear of the Lord is the whole of man. It's the whole happiness of man. You fear the Lord, my dear friends, you not only have prolonged life, but you have everlasting life. Yes, you will be satisfied. You will abide satisfied. Your heart will not be filled with an aching emptiness. In other words, if you fear the Lord, you abide satisfied. In other words, you have the real meaning of life. You have abundant life. Now, when you have abundant life, surely that is happiness. And then you will abide satisfied can also mean that you will rest securely. You will rest securely. At night when you go to bed, you will rest securely. Now, for many people, going to bed is a great burden. I think I told you about this friend of mine. Yes, going to bed was a great burden to him. It was a torture to him because he couldn't sleep at night. He suffered from a very, very strange kind of insomnia. When the lights were bright in the evening and night, he would feel very sleepy and he felt that he needed to sleep. But the moment he switched off the lights, he said he became wide awake. It was the same every night. The moment the lights were switched off, he became wide awake. So he couldn't sleep. For nights and nights, that was happening to him. How could a person be happy, my dear friends, if when the lights are bright, he feels sleepy, he wants to sleep, but he can't sleep because the lights are bright, and then the moment he switches off the lights, he is fully awake. So, indeed, he was a very, very unhappy man. But, friends, if you fear the Lord, you know that the Lord is present with you. Yes, you know that His eyes are in every place beholding the good and the evil. And you are very, very comforted by this truth, but because you are walking in the way of righteousness. And like the psalmist, you will be able to say, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. How wonderful. Every night, when you go to bed, when you hit the deck, you really hit the deck, and you sleep right away. Friends, that's happiness, to be able to sleep every night. Proverbs 15:16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. If you fear the Lord, having little in substance is better than having great treasures with a lot of troubles. In fact, if you fear the Lord, yes, you know that, you know how to rest contented. Like Paul, you will be able to say in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and to verse 8, Paul says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Surely it is happiness to be very, very contented. Even we have a little. Surely that is happiness. You'll be very contented, my dear friends, if you fear the Lord. And that's happiness, to be contented. Fear the Lord. This is the whole of man. Fear the Lord. This is the first lesson in life. This is the final lesson in life. In other words, this is the most important lesson in life, the most vital lesson in life, to fear the Lord. Now, you can afford not to learn other lessons, but you cannot afford to not to learn this lesson, the lesson of the fear of the Lord. Because if you have no fear of the Lord, you have no wisdom to live, you have no wisdom to die. No wisdom to live because your life is empty. There's an aching emptiness in you. Life is meaningless to you if you do not fear the Lord. So you have no wisdom to live, you have no wisdom to die. How foolish you would be, my dear friends, if you are dying and then you do not know where you are going after you leave this earth. Now, how foolish it would be for you to think that if I die, my body simply turns into dust and ashes, and then the dust and ashes would simply be recycled as part of natural history. Yes, when you pass away from this earth and you wake up from this earth, you are going to end up in everlasting hell and the everlasting torment in the lake of fire. Surely that is foolishness. So if you do not fear the Lord, you have no wisdom to live, you have no wisdom to die. But how wise it would be if you fear the Lord. You have learned the first lesson in life. You have learned the last lesson in life. You have served Him well. Let's say like the Apostle Paul, you have served Him very, very well. You've learned the lesson in life well. You serve Him very, very well. And then you come to the last days of your life. Then you say this. Alright, because you have lived well, you know that you are going to die well as well, and you are able to say, like the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8, Paul says, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. How wonderful, my dear friends, if we are able to say at the close of our life, like what the great Apostle Paul just said. Now the final question is, why are there so many people in the world who despise wisdom and instruction? Why? They look at the preaching of the cross and they say it is foolishness. Why walk the way of the cross? It is foolishness. They tell you, you know, you do not know what you are missing. They tell you, eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy while you can, because a day will come when you will be too old to enjoy all these things. Go to church. Why go to church? Why waste the Sunday morning? This, the time that you go to church, can very, very well be spent for your most enjoyable pleasure. They tell you that. One day I was trying to give the gospel to this young man. I was young also at that time, so I was trying to give the gospel to him. And we talked, he was quite a nice fellow to talk to. Then finally, I asked him this question. Because I gave him the gospel, he didn't want to come to believe. So I asked him this question. I said, my friend, why are you not wanting to believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And he said this to me, I don't want the world to pass me by. Exact words. I don't want the world to pass me by. In other words, I want to enjoy all these things while I can. Yes, I don't want the world to pass me by. So what happens, friends? They despise wisdom. They despise instruction from the Word of God. Now, why do they despise wisdom and they despise instruction from the Word of God? Because they have no fear of the Lord. They have not known the truth or refused to accept the truth that the fear of the Lord is the whole duty of man, that it is his whole happiness, that it is his first and his last lessons in life, the most important lessons in his life. They think they are wise. They think that the God-fearing man is foolish because he earns his money and he doesn't know how to spend his money. Yes, he doesn't know how to enjoy himself. He only knows how to give that money for the furtherance of the gospel to save people from hell, which they think does not exist. They say, give me that money. I'll show you how to enjoy yourself. The truth is, my dear friends, they are wise in their own eyes. In truth, they are foolish, because they are walking in the broad along the broad way. The Lord says it in His word very clearly. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. It looks right. It looks good. It looks very enjoyable. It looks very meaningful. But the end thereof are the ways of death. He is a foolish man who does not know fear the Lord, who does not know how to fear the Lord. So my question to you is this: are you fearing the Lord, or are you not fearing the Lord? You show that you are not fearing the Lord if you despise wisdom and if you despise instruction from this book today. The word is given to you. You say, I despise it, I ignore it, I don't care for it. My dear friends, you are a fool in God's sight. That's what the Lord says, a fool in His sight. Now, how is the fear of the Lord related to wisdom? How? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the starting point of wisdom, as we said, the foundation of wisdom. If we want to have wisdom, we must necessarily fear the Lord. And it is wisdom of the right kind, wisdom as defined by the Word of God. How should we regard the fear of the Lord? We should regard it as our whole duty to fear Him. It should be our loving duty to fear Him. All right, we don't perform that duty as a chore, but it's our loving duty to fear Him. It is our happiness to fear Him. It is our most vital lesson to fear Him. Now, those who do not fear Him, those who do not fear Him are really very foolish. You see, and they show their foolishness by despising wisdom and instruction from the Word of God. They are really walking along the broad way. They think that they are right, walking along the right way. But it is the broad way that leads to eternal death. So, my dear friends, my final question to you is, are you wise? Are you foolish? Are you wise? Are you foolish? You are foolish, my dear friends, if you don't fear the Lord. You are wise if you really fear the Lord. Now, if you have not feared the Lord before, I want to invite you this morning to come to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Repent from your sins and then learn how to fear the Lord. And if you fear the Lord in the sight of the one true living God, you are indeed a very wise person. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, O Lord, for Your word of life. Teach us, O Lord God, to love You. Teach us, O Lord, to delight ourselves in You. We pray, O Lord, that You will cleanse us of all our sins and iniquities. Teach us to fear You, O Lord God. Teach us to realize that the fear of the Lord is the starting point of wisdom. It is the foundation of wisdom. We pray, O Lord God, that we may all not regard the fear of the Lord as a chore, but regard the fear of the Lord as our loving duty. And help us to realize that the fear of the Lord is our entire happiness. And the fear of the Lord is really our first and our final lessons in life, the most important lessons in life. Lord, we pray that You will teach us to be wise, and we know that to be wise, we need to fear You. And we pray for those who do not know You as Lord and Savior yet, enable them to realize that they are indeed fools if they do not fear You. We pray that You will cause them to fear You and to always realize that Your eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So teach us, O Lord God, to fear You so that we may indeed be seen as wise by You. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.